Good morning. Welcome to Seacoast Church. So glad that you guys are worshiping with us here on Super Bowl Sunday. Do we have any Patriots fans in the house today? That was weak. Do we have any Rams fans in the house today? Anybody but the Patriots fans in the house today? Okay, that's most of us probably. We're glad you guys are here. I'm Team Asheville today, Seacoast Asheville. I got the jersey on, and I want to welcome all of our campuses that are with us this weekend. We're so glad that you guys are here. If you're joining us online or maybe over in the chapel, we're so thankful that you're worshiping with us as well. My name is Josh Surratt. I serve as a lead pastor here at Seacoast, and it's a great time, especially if you're new to the church. Great time to be coming and checking it out. God is doing some really remarkable things in our church, things that we haven't seen in our 31-year history. A lot of it kicked off with our 21-day fast, and then we had a service this past Wednesday. I guess it was two Wednesdays ago. We had we wanted to call it a miracle service, but I'm your pastor, and I'm just going to confess right now, I was a little nervous to call it that because I can't like force those kinds of things to happen. But we were really believing that God wanted to bring healing and wanted to bring some miracles to those who needed it, and so we had an incredible time where we just made some space and God has just done incredible things. We've seen, we've had sent to us now over 200 documented cases of God healing people during our time together or even online. Is that not incredible? I had a friend of mine that moved to Pennsylvania a couple years ago who just sent me a long deal on Thursday of this week or Friday of this week who God healed her while she was watching the rebroadcast of our service 7 days later. And I'm like, I just cannot imagine what's going on. And I'd love to tell you all the stories. Most recent was last night, after our service last night, there was a 9-year-old girl who's been having some major health problems. And many in our church have been praying for her for quite some time. And she had a surgery back in June of last year that caused some issues in her spine. She had a really hard time walking and has been in and out of the hospitals for several months since then. And last night, some of our worship team prayed over her, and her family sent a video last night. I'm not going to show you the video because it's a little bit long, but she was just she was dancing. She was taking her leg up to, you know, it would be a miracle if I could do what she was doing. I'll just tell you that right now. But she said, God healed me last night as these guys prayed over me, and I've never felt this. She had to be carried into church, and she ran to the car. And so just remarkable stuff, and just praise God for what he's doing in our church. I share that, one, if you're skeptical, so was I until about 10 days ago, but I've seen some things with my own eyes, and I'm just amazed at what God can do. I wasn't skeptical that I didn't believe he could do it, but I just didn't know that he would, and it's been incredible. But if you're here today and you're struggling maybe physically or need a touch from God spiritually or emotionally, just know that you're in the right place. I believe God can do that in our presence, and this coming Wednesday's first Wednesday, many of our campuses will have a first Wednesday, and we're just going to continue to make space and believe that God wants to bring healing. And so I'd encourage you to also come on Wednesday night and come with faith, expecting God to do incredible things, and we will as well, and we'll see what he does. But as I was thinking about all that God is doing in our church, I was reminded of a trip that we took to Israel a couple years ago, and we talk about this anytime I bring up Israel. I'm like, please come to Israel with me because it's such a great trip. And so I'll say it again, please come to Israel with us. We're going the end of this year, and it is just such an incredible experience. It'll change your perspective on so many things. But one of the things we talked about when we were there was the Six-Day War. Did any of you guys study the Six-Day War? Remember that from history? Yeah, I didn't pay much attention either, so I vaguely remembered it. But being over there, I kind of heard more of the story, and it's really incredible. 1948 is when Israel became a nation again. Many in the Mideast weren't happy about that, and so they had some enemies on their borders. And in June of 1967, a war broke out between Israel and three of its bordering neighbors. And so in the south, it was Egypt. In the east, it was Jordan. And then in the north, it was Syria. And a war broke out with all three of them at the same time against Israel. And the reason they call it the Six-Day War is because it took 6 days for Israel not only to win that war, but to expand their territory on every boundary. And so in the south, they got the Sinai Peninsula back from Egypt. In the east, they got West Jerusalem, or East Jerusalem, and the West Bank from Jordan. And then in the north, they got the Golan Heights from Syria. And so it was just this incredible, incredible story of them winning. And I don't know why, but I was thinking about that this week, and I feel like that's the kind of year that we're going to have this year. I don't know if you felt any resistance in your own life or felt like, man, maybe there's been an attack that you faced spiritually or physically or in maybe your family. But I believe this is going to be a year that we see not only a victory won, but that we reclaim territory that maybe the enemy thought that he had taken, that God's going to reclaim for us. And even just seeing the physical healings, knowing that our families dealt with cancer and dealt with several difficult sicknesses that we've walked through, and to see God redeem that, to see not just our family experience healing, but to see lots and lots of families experience. And I think that's the kind of year that God wants for us. But I want to share one interesting highlight from that war. Most people who study the war say that it really was won on the first day, because what happened is Israel took out the air attack from all three of those countries. They went in and they bombed the air bases. And so what happened is they won the air battle. And once they won the air battle, it was only a matter of time before they won everything else. And I think the same is going to be true for us this year. If we're going to experience victory this year in whatever area of life that you want to experience victory in, it's going to require us to win the spiritual battle, to win the air attack. And then once we win there, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of the other stuff, the things you worry about, the things that you're nervous about, all those things will be added to you when we seek God first. And so today is going to be all about, how do we win that battle? How do we win the spiritual battle? And sometimes you need more than a pastor. Sometimes you need a coach. And so I'm going to introduce you to, some of you know him very well, because Sam Lessie has been a part of our team for over 20 years. But if you knew Sam's story, and he's going to share some of his testimony with you, you would know that he is literally a living miracle. The fact that he's a pastor here at Seacoast, the fact that he's continued to be married, God has brought him through some incredible things. Well, that's just because Joan is amazing and she's put up with him. I mean, let's just be honest with that. But no, when you hear his story, they came into this place as broken as you can be, and God really did work a miracle in their lives, and he continues to do it. He launched our Dream Center in North Charleston, has spent much of the last decade of his life and beyond pouring into students and families in North Charleston. He's the football coach up at North Charleston High School. He was a head coach for a while, continues to pour into and coach those guys, and he's going to coach you up today. He's going to coach all of us up, and how do we win these battles spiritually? So y'all, give it up. Welcome Pastor, Rev, Coach Sam Lesky as he brings it.
Well, good morning. Man, Josh starts talking about air raid. I'm thinking football, Texas Tech, air raid attack, throw the ball around. That sounds like fun stuff. And the good thing is, hey, I'm an Eagles fan. We are still the world champions. And I can say that for a few more hours. Don't be shaking your heads. We're still the champions. We win, all right? For 52 years, I waited for that thing, okay? I don't care if we ever win another Super Bowl. We got one. I'd like to say hi to the campuses. My job here at Seacoast actually is I go to all the different campuses. I was a campus pastor here at Mount Pleasant. Then I went over to the Dream Center for about 10 years, and I was a campus pastor over at the Dream Center. And then now I go around each week to a different campus, and basically I just coach them up. I see what's going on Sunday. I see what's going on during the week, and I just help the campus pastors and the campuses all play Seacoast Church so that we're a one church, many campuses. And as I talk to everybody in the campuses, sometimes at the campuses when we say clap, they get a little nervous. They're like, does that mean them or us? We all clap. So campuses can clap, campuses can shout back. We're allowed to have fun, and we're going to have a good time here at Seacoast this morning. I showed up in this church. I was 27 years old, and man, I thought I was it. I grew up in New Jersey and Catholic background, and moved down here and played football in college, got a scholarship. And then I came down here, and I was married for about 5-6 years at the time, and things weren't going well. You know, my marriage was horrible. My finances were horrible. I wasn't happy. I was miserable. And not just because I'm an Eagles fan, because like Eagles fans hate everybody. I like hated everybody. And I lived that out, and it lived in my expressions. I'll never forget, the church used to be over here, and I used to sit in the back left over here. So if you're the back left, you're like my favorites, or back left over there. I like both back lefts. There was no balcony, so you people didn't exist. And I used to sit back over there, man, and just like be miserable and just hurting, man. I was a hurting individual. And it's been an incredible ride, and I'll share a little bit about that with you. But as you see, I'm a football coach. I don't have an iPad up here, an iPhone. I'm not trying to do that stuff. I got a play caller, okay? Now, if you know about football, you got to have a play caller. You got to have it laminated. You write notes on top of notes. You make adjustments during the game. You do all kinds of crazy stuff. And if it rains, it won't get wet, okay? And nobody's allowed to touch my play caller because it's like, even my coaches are like, hey, Rev, you got them? You print them out? And I'm like, right before game time. Okay, here it is. Because I don't want nobody cheating. Like, you know, what's that, Belichick? He'll cheat you, you know? So you got to be careful, you know? You got to be careful with this stuff. But I just want to tell you, I'm not your, if you haven't caught on by now, I'm not your normal pastor, okay? I went to the United States Merchant Marine Academy. My goal in life was to be a drunken sailor. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to sail the world, work on ships and tugboats, be like my uncles and family, and that's what I was looking to do. And when I was 17 years old, to give you some background and set the playing field here, when I was 17 years old, I thought I was real cool, man. I went out and got me a tattoo on my leg right here. Now, it was a Playboy Bunny tattoo, okay? I had the Playboy Bunny tattoo. I had the Playboy Bunny earring, Playboy Bunny gold chains. And in my Camaro, I have my Playboy Bunny air scent, the black and white thing, yup. See, some of you know back then, man. It was the in thing, and I thought I was on it. And then I come here to Seacoast, I get saved, I come on staff, and we're doing baptisms, like Isle Palms, right, where we do the ocean baptism. And as we're doing the baptisms, like some kid would come up to me and go, Pastor Sam, what's that on your leg? I'm like, bro, that's the Easter Bunny. And some of you guys, you parents, would look at me and be like, ain't the Easter Bunny, man. I know what that is. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. So one day I knocked on Pastor Greg's door. I said, Pastor Greg, man, can I get a cover-up tattoo? Because, like, it's driving me crazy going to the ocean baptisms, and I got a Playboy Bunny on my leg. The earring was already gone, but I got the Playboy Bunny. And so anyway, he said yes and got that tattooed over. But that's who you're dealing with today, okay? So some of you guys are thinking, this is great because I'm not as bad as him. And that is a beautiful thing, okay? But, you know, I just wanted to set the playing field, tell you what we're working with today. And I'm your been a pastor here for 20 years. I think we're okay. We're progressing in the right direction. So one of the books I read a while back is a favorite book of mine. And it's not so much a favorite of Josh Surratt's. It's written by Nick Saban. And it says, How Good Do You Want to Be? Okay? How good do you want to be? And that book touched me. I mean, I was like, wow, how good do you want to be, man? And it challenged me, like, in all areas of my life, how good do I want to be? You know, because if I'm a teacher, dude, that's why I just want to be a teacher and be an okay teacher. I mean, if I was going in for heart surgery, do I want just an okay heart doctor? Uh-uh. You know, when I'm looking for my girlfriend, you know, was I looking for, like, an okay girlfriend? No, man, I want the best girlfriend, you know, a hottie. And back then, a hottie with a body. So, you know, it was like, man, what do you want out of life? But Nick Saban challenged me to what do I want, you know? And so we're going to talk a little bit today about, you know, discipline in the body. We're going to talk a little bit about training and stuff like that. But, you know, you guys are thinking, is this guy for real? You know, I know he said he's from Jersey. So I want to take you back to New Jersey, circa 1989, Jersey Shore. You want to do this? Here we go. That's New Jersey, 1989, Jersey Shore, okay? Now, this was before Jersey Shore was a TV show, and my wife hates that show. She said, that show ain't real, that ain't right. But that's my wife, 31 years of marriage. We celebrated Tuesday, 31 years of marriage, all right? Then I got some of you guys are trying to play with me. You're texting me, Rev, you photoshopped in them biceps. No, I didn't, man. That's the real deal. Take that picture down. That's crazy. And then this is my family. We got my daughters. We got grandkids. We got I'm a godfather. Some you know, being a blessed over at the Dream Center, they say, hey, will you be a godparent? So I got a little guy, man, Tyler. He's my little godson. Got a goddaughter. Got a real grandkid. Yeah, I'm that old. I got a he'll be 3. Emerson. He's bad as can be right now, but we'll get him straight this summer. But we got a family. It's mixed. It's white. It's black. It's mixed and all kinds of stuff. But we have a lot of fun. And so that's a little about who we are and how we roll. Josh talked about today, one of the things I want to encourage you guys is being fit, man. Being fit. Being physically fit is great, right? And in the scripture, Paul says to discipline the body. My ring on it says honor, pride, and discipline. It's one of the mottos of where I went to school. But Paul says to discipline the body. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25 says everyone, verse 25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Strict training, okay? This is where I'm a football coach. You can't have no slackers, okay? Can't be dogging it, can't be walking it. You gotta have strict training, man. You gotta want this thing more than anybody else wants it. And I believe that's the same in our walk with God, man. You gotta want it, okay? I can't want it for you. We can come up here and share the word and encourage, but man, you got to go into strict training and you got to want this thing. See, I love working out. Obviously, the picture, I still work out even though I'm old. My bench press is way down. I'm aggravated with that. It'll never come back. But we go into training, man. When I was in college, it was strict training. It was like time to get it on. And I'll be honest with you, man. We go to the gym. My wife's been working out with me for 31 years. She knew me in college. She actually knew me in high school and wouldn't come near me. And then in college, she wised up in college and she came, hung out with me. But we'd be in the gym benching, man. And I put four plates. What's that? 405. See, you guys gym rats know that stuff. Four plates, 405. Boom. Three plates, 315. So you got to know the differences. You're pushing it up, and guys would be, hey, man, you want me to spot you? I'm like, no, man, I got my girl. She got me. And they're like, he crazy. Push that stuff up. So I love the workout. I love the train. Getting a little older. Me and Josh went on a trip not too long ago, Surratt. And we wake up in the morning. He goes, you going to work out? I said, yeah, man, I'm going to work out. Go down to the gym. And he said, hey, you want to go to CrossFit with us? I'm like, CrossFit? Thinking, nah, man. I put my earbuds in. I pump some iron. I look good. If I keep my chest bigger than my stomach, I don't have to do abs or cardio. I got this thing. So he said, man, go to CrossFit with us. I said, CrossFit, man, you guys do these things called burpees. I went there one time. They do burpees. My big toe still hurts from turf toe, right? I don't want to do a burpee. It hurts my big toe. And I don't need guys yelling at me. And he said, oh, but Pastor Sam, we can modify the workout. Modify the workout. You know what I heard when Josh said modify? I heard participation medal. Y'all know what I'm talking about nowadays. You know, I don't want no participation medal. You can't modify the workout. I got to do the real deal. So I was like, can't do that CrossFit stuff. Got to do the real deal. And we got to roll, got to compete. Now, working out physically, as you guys know, is good. But Paul goes on to say that spiritually is even better. So working out physically is great, but working out spiritually is even better. And so I want to take you guys on a little journey, and this is going to be a crazy morning. You're going to be thinking, really? Where's my note sheet? First of all, some of you are mad already. Where's my note sheet? My note sheet ain't in one worship guide. You're freaking out, like me. I do that. I got like OCD. Where's my note sheet? You don't have a note sheet today. Here's what you're going to do. We're going to ask you guys to do a survey, okay? And there's a survey on your chairs in paper if you're old school. I'm actually new school. I don't use paper stuff anymore. And even film is on my phone. I can watch football games on my phone of the team. But there is a survey. It's under your seat with a pen. Or I'd love you to go on your phone. Today, you're allowed to take out your phones. Seacoast.org/survey, if you guys would. This is like coach time. Take out your phone. You know, usually I'm yelling at players, put your phone away. Today I'm yelling, take out your phone. Take out your phone. It's going to be fun. You got to help us, because here's the deal. I'm going to help you grow spiritually, and then you're going to help us as a church grow spiritually. So if you want a shot at us, if you're like, you want to fill out that comment card, okay, I want you to take a shot at us. I want you to help us today. I want you to help us to be a better church. It's totally anonymous. We can't track any of this stuff. We don't know who you are. We don't want your phone number. We don't want your address. None of that stuff. So it's totally anonymous, but I would love you to do it. Take out your phone. The last couple services, we had almost 1,000 people already do this. So you can take out your phone, text survey, and we're going to walk through this survey a little. Think of it as a checkup from the neck up, okay? We're going to check you up a little, and we're going to walk through some demographic information real quick. And if you get ahead of me, just fly through it. Zip code, my zip code. Put your own zip code. 29429. I'm an Allendale, brother. That is heaven. Don't you come there, because we got a great thing going on up there. Okay? All right. What's your gender? It's church. You only get to pick one or the other, male or female. Okay? I didn't put a bunch of choices on there. I only put two. Oh, Lord. What year were you born? I got to scroll down a little bit on that one. All right. Boom. Done on that one. And what's your ethnicity? You guys know that one. Make it happen. Check it off. Which of the following best describes your relationship status? Married, 31 years. Thank you, baby, for sticking with me and putting up with me. She likes when I say that. She feels good. And how many children under the age of 18 do you have? Now, I had to go all the way to 10 plus here because of the Walters, okay? Josh and Katie got like 20 kids in the house, so there is a 10 plus option. You can put that on your phone. And then what campus are you at? If I, you know, on a holiday, you can usually find me at North Charleston, because that's home, the Dream Center. Love that crew over there. And then what service time do you attend? Hit next. You guys are already done. The demographic information. Hopefully our phones don't crash and everything works good. Man's going a little slower this morning. It was real good, the first service. And mine needs to flip over. Come on, there we go. All right. Next question is, how often do you attend weekend services? Okay, how often? And don't be putting every week. Don't be lying. This is church. Don't be lying about when you're here. Matter of fact, some of y'all check your children in. So we go, oh, the average church attender comes like twice a month. So we gotta up that a little bit. But don't lie. Put how often you come. How long you been coming here? I've been over 20 years. How'd you get here? I was invited by a friend, a neighbor, invited me to church here at Seacoast. Where are you in your spiritual walk? Here you deal. It's anonymous, okay? I was a zero, maybe a one. I know who Jesus and God and heaven and hell, but I didn't live like it. But I was probably a one when I got here, and now I can put a lot higher number than you guys, okay? So please be honest, check on that. We want to help you grow in your walk. Have you invited someone to Seacoast service or event in the past year, okay, in the past year? One of the things we encourage you guys to invite your friends, families, and coworkers, okay? I even drove in this morning, and as I was thinking about the survey and thinking about this, I thought, you know, what good is it going to be if I'm up in heaven and I look down and my neighbor or one of my players are saying, hey, Rev, man, why didn't you tell me about it? Why didn't you invite me to church? And it burns me, man. It hurts when I think, man, did I tell my family members? Am I living it out in front of my family members? Did I tell my neighbor? Did I invite my neighbor to church? Who did I, man, I need to get everybody to heaven, man. I need to help. So encourage you guys, invite friends, invite family, coworkers, all that good stuff. All right, that's that. Next section is, are you in a small group? And here's the deal. Some of you guys are thinking, small group. What is that? Why is that? Small groups here at Seacoast, sometimes we get churchy, man. I hate it because I'm not like a churchy guy. But sometimes we get churchy, and I catch myself churchy. We go, small groups. And if you just came to church for like the first time today, you're going, what the heck is a small group? Okay? And you're all confused. We think you know because we do church every day. Small groups are where we get together, where we study the Bible, where we have a meal together, where we hang out. The scripture says never stop meeting house to house, okay? And it also, what I love, it says, is break bread together, eat together, man. We're from up north. My wife's Italian. We eat, man. We eat all the time, and it's good. So eat together, hang out together. During church service, you can't say, hey, what does that scripture mean? You can do that in a small group. So I want to encourage you guys. There's like 700-800 small groups across all the campuses. There's probably 8,000 or 9,000 people that go to small group every week. If you're not in a small group, if you haven't called on to that, you're missing out, man. That's where great relationships are built. That's where great spiritual growth happens. So I want to encourage you guys to get involved, get in a small group. If you're not, please check on there. Why not? We want to know. We want to help. We want to grow. We want to grow ourselves. Rate your spiritual growth. Has Seacoast helped you grow spiritually? You know, I feel that I have a deep connection with others at Seacoast. I'm telling you, if you're in a small group, you will. I understand the Bible better since I started attending Seacoast. And I strongly agree with that one. And I'll tell you what, when I walked in this church and sat back there, I didn't own a Bible. Okay? Never read the Bible, didn't have a Bible, grew up Catholic. Me and my mom were talking the other day, and I quoted a scripture to her. She's like, Sammy, I'm Catholic. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. I said, that's all right, Mom. We'll walk through this thing. And so, you know, getting a Bible, it's important, man, reading your Bible. I mean, I don't know how many times I've read it cover to cover. Or I might have a family member say, well, you know, this ain't the way to do church. I'm like, did you ever read your Bible?
No, I never read the Bible.
Well, how you get to say something? I get coaches sometimes. It's funny. And the coaches know I do this. We have a thing called huddle where you can watch film. Well, on huddle, if you're the administrator, you can see how much film the other coaches are watching. Ah, they don't like that. So a coach might come in and go, hey, coach, we got to do this, this, and this. I'm like, man, you ain't watched no huddle. You ain't watched no film. So guess what? You don't get no input. Because if you ain't watched film and you don't know what's going on, you don't get no input. And so, man, I'm going to encourage you guys, read the Bible, get a Bible. Never forget walking in the Bible store, Christian bookstore, man. I still got the Playboy Bunny tattoo on my leg. I roll into the Christian bookstore. And I'm like, first of all, man, I can roll into the club and feel comfortable. But rolling into a Christian bookstore, man, was like scary. Like, what kind of people are in there? Like, I'm lost. Like, are they going to accept me? They're going to look at me and be like, dude, you should not be in the Christian bookstore, especially with that thing on your leg. And walking in there, man, then you walk in, there's a Bible room. And there's 900 different kinds of Bibles with different translations. And I'm like, which Bible do I buy? I'm lost. I had to come back to church and say, hey, man, what kind of Bible should I get? And then went in and bought a Bible. But I want to encourage you, man, growing it, learning it. If you, and for any of you guys that say this church ain't deep enough, don't ever say that to me. Don't ever say that to me. Because let me tell you something. In this church, I learned how to read a Bible. And I've read it cover to cover. I can't tell you how many times. In this church, I've been in small groups and grew spiritually and became a pastor. In this church, I've seen family members saved, friends saved, neighbors saved. I've seen amazing things. If you're saying it ain't deep enough, I'm going to tell you this. Are you in a small group? Are you serving in the church? And are you leading others to Christ? Because here's the deal. You got to do it. You know, just like I got to go to the gym and do it on my own a little bit, same thing with growing deeper, man. You got to grow deeper on your own a little bit. You got to want it. And if you want it, you'll see you can go deeper. So, all right, next part of it is discover your purpose. We want to help you discover your purpose and make a difference here at Seacoast. Are you on the dream team? Again, one of those Christianese type words, dream team. Some of you guys are thinking what? Basketball, 1990s basketball team in the Olympics, the dream team. We ain't talking that, okay, because we church. We're talking something different. We're talking about volunteers, okay? If you volunteer here at Seacoast, you're part of the dream team. And let me tell you, those guys parking the cars and the greeters and the ushers and the camera crews, you guys make this church great. The dream team makes this church incredible. Also, if you're on the dream team, you're going to connect and hook up with some cool people. You're going to meet new friends, spiritual friends that you can grow with, and you're going to be part of the life of the church. So I encourage you guys to be part of the dream team. It's a great way to grow spiritually. Then some of the other questions in that section, if you're on a dream team, why not? We'd love to know that. And then also some of the survey stuff, as we roll, make a difference. Man, do you agree that, you know, that you can, that we should support local missions? I opened the Dream Center, and, you know, we do medical, dental, and all kinds of great stuff over there, give out food, help people with clothes. We do that at many of our campuses. We're doing local outreach, and here at Mount Pleasant, we do lots of great stuff, man. Is that something that you guys like us doing? How are you on that? Also, should global missions be one of our big focuses? We'd love to know your opinion. We send out like 30, 40 trips all over the world, whether it's helping with medical clinics or evangelism or building schools or churches. So we'd love to know that. And also, the next question, I regularly give to Seacoast Church. I regularly give. Again, it's anonymous. Don't be freaking out. This ain't a tithe message. I don't want your money, okay? We don't need your money. God wants a cheerful giver, okay? But my kids, you know, as they grew up and they matured and they got jobs, you know, I challenged our kids, you know, hey, you in a small group, which both my daughters, you know, check yes, right? My one daughter helps lead a small group and stuff. I challenged my kids, hey, man, you're working now. You giving to God? And they're like, yeah, Dad, yeah, we're there. I say, good, because, you know, like, at a small campus, we might have a $20,000 electric bill. Who pays that? You know? You guys think, oh, I'm just giving that. I ain't giving that money to the pastor. Some of you. That's how I came in here. You know, I see my, you know, I ain't giving that money to our church. Man, you guys like sitting in the heat this morning. You like sitting in the air conditioning. You like them $33 chairs you're sitting in, okay? The chairs in the new auditorium going to be a lot more expensive. Hey, man, do your part. Help the church. Be a blessing. Help us do what we do. And God will use it in a powerful way. It's not just, you know, your money goes a long way to serve. I'm telling you, things that you, beyond that, you know, I sit here honestly and I say 31 years of marriage. I'm really not joking about that. Because of this church and because of the work that God did in this church, me and my wife are still married. I mean, 31 years. And I don't give credit to anything else. Not, oh, Sammy's pretty smart. No, God did an amazing work through this church, and I'm very thankful. So you guys keep giving and keep being a part, hitting your next button. The next part of the survey, you guys start to grade us, okay? And so tell me what you think about Seacoast. Here's where you're going to coach us, and we want this information. We want this feedback. So tell us what you think. You know, how do you experience Seacoast Church overall? Do you love the people, the teachings? What is it about that that you like? You can check okay or check it off. Now, the weekend teaching is the next question. Please take me out of the equation. I know, Josh. Josh and Josh do a much better job, and Pastor Greg. So grade them. Don't grade me this morning. And how do you like the weekend teaching on a normal weekend? The worship, how do you find the worship at all the different campuses and what we do? First Wednesday, if you have one or not, please check that. Are you in a small group? How do you like the small groups? And do we do a good job helping you there? Student ministry, we call it custom around here. Because again, we're a church. We can't just call it student ministry. We got to call it custom. That means middle school and high school. And we have an incredible middle school and high school ministry. Also, children's ministry. How do you rate that? Children's ministry goes on at every service at all the campuses. And that's one of the things. I grew up Catholic, right? So when I grew up Catholic, I had to take my kids into church, wrestle them in the pew. And then they built this little glass room, right? And the kids be in there with toys banging on the glass, and everybody's looking back, and you're like, shut up, kid, man, calm down. Gotta get to church, it's church. And I'm like, what the heck do I go to church for? I get all aggravated. I'm just gonna stay home. And then I came to Seacoast, man, and I dumped my kids at children's care. Yeah, get a coffee, worship, teaching. I'm like, this place is great. Catholic guilt came upon me. Go back to the Catholic church. Shut up, kid, yeah. I'm like, man, I'm going back to Seacoast. Child care is incredible here. You do get, I goof around, I say you get to dump, you get to dump your kids, but here's the deal. They watch them, they give them a Bible lesson, they grow them in the Lord, they do an amazing thing. And I'm gonna tell you, if you take your kid to child care, they're gonna have a better time, you're gonna have a better time, and I guarantee you the guy next to you is gonna have a better time, okay? So that's the best reason why you should take your kid to child care. Where are we at here? I'm getting all lost. All right. So some of the other things we do, like our website. Do you use our website? Do you use our email? How effective are we? We want to know how to communicate with you on that, and which ones are you using? Just keep checking through a bunch of stuff on Seacoast app. We do got an app. We'll be updating that soon. One of the big questions we have, number four, would love to get your input from this, okay? We spend a lot of money on them worship guides that are all like thrown on the floor that the maintenance guys will throw in the trash after this service. We spend money on the worship guides. We spend money on phone calls, emails, text messages, banners, signs out front. We market Easter and Christmas with billboards and all that. Help us be a better church. What's the best way to contact you guys? And what's the best way to get information back and forth? So it may be Facebook, text messages, mail. What's the best way to reach you guys to stay in contact? Because we would love to do that. We'd love to be efficient, you know? The other day I was in the weight room at the high school, and I'm like, yeah, Facebook. And I was telling this kid, he's like, Rev, you old. I'm like, what you mean I'm old? He's like, yeah, man, Instagram's in now, not Facebook. So I was like, man, you, what's your problem? And then if you guys go rate what you guys use most, Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff, and let us know what you guys use, what devices, and that kind of stuff. And then the last question, how likely are you to recommend Seacoast Church to a friend or family member? How likely are you to recommend Seacoast Church? And I'll tell you there, I'll put a 10. And if you want to fight me on that or wrestle me on that, I'll see you out back after the service, okay? Remember that? We used to go out back behind the school. I'll meet you behind the school after service. But why I give it a 10, in all sincerity, I give it a 10 because, again, I was 27 years old. I showed up in this church and sat in the back. And I'm telling you, man, when I'm talking about pain, it was for real, okay? Been married about 5 or 6 years, drank a ton, did drugs if they were around, and I was trouble, man. I was just trouble. Messed up a lot of things, man. Hurt my wife. Hurt my friends. Hurt relationships in the past. I hurt a lot of people. Hurt a lot of people. And I used to sit back there, man, hurting. Finances hurting. Marriage hurting. You know, just hurting, man. Just trying to fill that void. And I'd sit back there and just, man, just be so frustrated. And the story started with my wife. She got invited to Seacoast Church through a women's small group. She came to a women's small group. They prayed. And I tell everybody, she got nice, okay? Now, she's Italian, and she's from New Jersey, okay? And God performed the first miracle. She got nice. And she really was reaching out and loving on me, for real. She really reached out and loved on me, and it started cracking my heart. And so she said one day, she said, hey, go to church with me. I said, no bleeping way. And she said, you know, as we were talking, she said, well, you know, your shoulder, you know, been hurting you. She said, what if I prayed over your shoulder, and what if it felt better, maybe you go to church with me. And so I said, whatever, man. I seen her praying for the kids. She'd pray over the dog. She'd pray for things. And I was like, whatever. She prayed for my shoulder. And I went to the gym. It used to be on Coleman Boulevard. Some of you guys remember old school. It was LifeQuest back then. And I went there and worked out. And it didn't hurt. And I wasn't telling her. I was like, ah, that's a bunch of whatever. I don't want to be one of them holy rollers. And she prayed over my shoulder. And a few days later, she said, hey, man, how's the shoulder? And I happened to go to the gym like that day or the day before, and I did a bunch of dips, and it didn't hurt that bad. I said, oh, man, it's all right. And she said, well, then you got to go to church with me. I said, all right, man, I'll go to church with you. And I went to church with her. And the changes started happening. Then she asked me to go to a small group, a couple small group on a Friday night. I'm thinking, what kind of freaks are at a couple small group in the church? I'm dead serious, man. I'm dead serious. I'm thinking these guys must be losers. Like, they don't watch football. They got glasses. I don't know. I wear glasses now, too. And I'll never forget Snee Farm, man. Snee Farm, red house on the corner. I can go back. I walked into that house. And honestly, when I walked in the house, true story, I didn't tell this to the other services. I walked into that house. I'm looking to the counter on the right for some liquor. Like, get me a drink. And there wasn't no liquor. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is exactly what I was thinking. And we went through a Bible study. We studied. We prayed. And then after the small group, some of them guys said, hey, man, you want to hook up? You want to hang out next week? Blah, blah, blah. And start hanging out with these guys. And I seen that they had something I didn't. They had a peace and a joy that I didn't have. They had something I didn't, man. And I was like, what do they got? And so I'd go back to that small group, man, in search. And through that small group, man, I quit. I really did. I quit cussing and quit. Now, guys at work would be like, good, Sammy, let one out. And I'm like, no, I ain't going to do it. And I quit cussing. I quit doing things. In 1994, in February, I quit drinking. And I had to get that part out of my life for a while and get clean. Went about 16 years. No drugs, no alcohol, no nothing. And just God, I had to get my life right, man. And I went on that journey with God, reading my Bible, going to small group, being in a men's group during the week, being a couples group on the weekend, two groups. I'm in two groups right now. I do a men's group on Wednesday morning, and I do a couples group on Thursdays because I'm going to keep in the flow. Because here's the deal. I've been in these groups for about 26, 27 years, and I'm still married. And I say, wow, I've been in these groups. I got wonderful children that are following the Lord, that grew up in the same children's ministry, and they're leading small groups, and they're serving, and they love God. I got all this good stuff, man. I'm like, why would I ever want to blow it? Why would I put it on the line and ruin everything I got? I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to stay in them small groups, and I'm going to continue to grow spiritually. So that's my challenge to you this morning, and my prayer for you this morning is the surveys were great, and what I'd love you to do is, you know, you can check them off on your phone, done. Or when we do response time, drop them on the altar and just pile them up and bring them to the altar. But mostly important, here's what I want you to do this morning. I know for a fact that there's a bunch of people in here hurting. I know there's men, there's women, there's marriages, there's finances, there's addiction. There's a bunch of hurt, man. Some of you are hiding. I hid, man. I hid for a long time in the seats. Some of you are hiding and holding that back. And I want to challenge you this morning. Our prayer teams are going to be on the sides and the backs, and all your campuses have prayer teams. They want to pray for you. And you know, it ain't just about physical healing. You don't say, hey, heal my shoulder. Man, it's about spiritual healing. Whatever healing you need from that pain today, I want you to walk out of this place pain-free. On that journey, drugs, alcohol, finances, family, go to the prayer teams and just say, pray for me. Whatever it is. You can say, pray for my finances. You don't want to say nothing, don't say nothing. Just say, pray for me. And they want to pray for you this morning. And that's how we're going to respond this morning. There's communion and all that good stuff that normally happens. But please drop your surveys. If you're hurting, man, see a prayer team member. They'd love to pray for you. And as we wrap up this morning, let me pray for y'all. Father, we come before you this morning. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 25, Lord, you say that you can repay what the locusts have eaten. You can repay. You can restore what the locusts have eaten. God, I lost a lot of things during them times where I wandered from you, God. I lost my relationships. I almost lost my wife. I lost my finances, and I was in pain. God, I lost cars and boats and everything else, God, from the pain of being away from you. But God, as I came back to you, at first I didn't believe the word, God, that you could restore it, that you would repay it. But God, I can tell you, I'm a believer now, God, because you restored my marriage. You repaid my finances. You restored all the brokenness and the pain and the hurt, God, that you restored it and you repaid me. And Lord, we just give you thanks. Lord, I pray for those people here today that need that restoration, that need that repayment, God, that you would repay them, you'd restore them, and God, show them the miracle in their life, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.